In this mini lecture, we discuss the meaning of the word persuasion. We attempt to define it. Of course, persuasion means many different things to many different people, and scholars define the term in many different ways. But if we're going to have a profitable conversation about persuasion, we're going to need to have some common vocabulary in our discussion so that we know that we're talking about the same things. And so I'm going to stipulate a definition of persuasion for our purposes, for the sake of good conversation. When I use the word persuasion, I mean the following sorts of things. First, I want to note that the definition that I have for persuasion is far broader than the definition that most people use. I think that's justified because I don't think that the research tends to draw the same sorts of lines that the disciplines who study persuasion draw. And so for the most part, I have a much broader definition. There is one particular on which I think I may have a stricter than usual concept of what persuasion is, and I'll talk in the next few moments about both of those things. First, I believe that we can say persuasion is communicative influence. Communicative influence. Communication which influences, which is intended to influence or does influence, we're going to call persuasion. And so implicit in that explanation is the idea that it is person-centered. We can talk about persuasion either in relationship to a source persuader or to a receiving persuadee. From the standpoint of the source persuader, we can say that we are talking about persuasion. When we're talking about a source having encoded a message which is intended to influence the choice of another. In other words, it is goal-driven or strategic in the sense that communication is seen as a strategy for the means of achieving the goal of influencing another person. On the other hand, from the receiver's perspective, I think we can say that we're talking about persuasion when we're talking about a receiving person who decodes a message that influences their choice. That message may have been a strategic message. In other words, it may have been intended by a source to change the audience. On the other hand, it might be entirely non-strategic and unplanned. That is, we can become persuaded of things that no specific person tried to persuade us of. So whether it is intentional or unintentional that communication influences our choice, from the standpoint of us as receivers of communication, we're going to say that we're talking about the topic of persuasion when communication influences choice. So communicative influence, communication which influences or is intended to influence, that is person-centered. When a source intends to influence, they're engaged in persuasion. When a receiver is influenced, they're involved in the domain of persuasion. One other note here. I think largely implicit in what I've had to say above, but I want to make absolutely clear, is that I'm defining persuasion in a way which, as Larson says, most communication scholars agree upon. And that is the idea that persuasion is change-oriented. If communication is not intended to change the audience from the standpoint of the source, then it is not persuasion for our purposes. If communication does not change the receiver from the receiver's perspective, then we would say that we are not talking about persuasion. Change orientation is essential to our definition of persuasion, and therefore something that we might call preaching to the choir, where there is no attempt to change the attitude, behavior, intention of the audience, is not, in fact, persuasion. A valuable form of communication, perhaps, but not persuasion in the sense that we are defining it as change-oriented communicative influence. Thank you very much for listening.